Hi, Pastor Bob. We are so blessed you've decided to dig into the fruit of the Active Word Broadcast Ministry. Now, of course, it's our heart and it's our hope to help you grow in the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and how He wants to work in your life. If, in fact, we're successful, would you be so kind? Drop us a line, make a phone call. And if, in fact, there's a way we can serve you better, we'll know this. It's our goal. God bless you.
Father, this day we give you thanks for family. You are so wise. You've given to us roles and responsibilities. Dads have a purpose. Sons and daughters understand the need for submission. Partnership in this thing we call family life. But for mom, well, Lord, we know too often they're that unsung hero. They do so much, so many hours, so much energy. Lord, we want to say today, thank you. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the gentleness. Thank you, God, for compassion. We see in our wives caring for our kids. Thank you, God, for our moms who modeled for us a love so unconditional. We know you better, God, because the love in mom. Help us today hear your heart concerning this very, very essential, very, very imperative role and responsibility. Again, we say thanks, God, for mom. In Jesus' name, amen. Mom! Mom! Mom, can you come here? Mom! Mom! As a parent, you've heard that plea. Yeah, it's that call to come, that cry for care. You can, if you choose to, as a dad, put down your paper, leave your easy chair. You can set that project to the side and leave the garage. Oh, you can, as a dad, walk all the way upstairs, all the way down the hall, hearing, following that woeful little whine, the words that will follow. I wanted mom. I need mom, dad, not you, mom. Obviously, dad just won't do. Yeah, and let me say it another way. It's because dad just won't do. Oh, not that he just won't do. It's just that he can't do. You see, dad can't do everything a mom can do. He just can't. Oh, you want the challenge? Listen, it's a little risky. It can even be dangerous. But if you want the challenge, next week, give mom the week off. The whole week. Now, what you could do to ensure that she really has the week off, send her to the retreat, but then gift her a few extra days. She can just stay at a hotel, kick back, and you, dad, have total, complete responsibility. Now, here's what some of you are thinking. Same thing I thought. I know exactly where you're at. Why? It was 2-3 weeks ago, my wife teaching at a senior pastor's wife conference in Maryland. She left. And I remember first day feeling free. Can I be that honest? She's leaving the house on her way to the airport. I get to watch what I want to watch, eat what I want to eat, go where I want to go. You know that feeling, don't you, Dad? Yeah, but I got kids. I know. They will eat what we want to eat, go where we want to go, do what we want to do. That's how you feel the first day for about 4 hours. And then the freedom leads to fear. Oh, my goodness. Look what this freedom does. It's chaotic. This is crazy. I can't believe. Now, the freedom that led to fear, the next day, it's frustration. Hey, what? How did that happen? Now, wait a second. Why is the dog there? Put those shavers down. You can't cut the dog's hair. Here's what we need to do. Come on back. Let's have a family meet. Frustration. freedom, fear, frustration. And then now, into your third or fourth day, greater fear. Oh, God, forgive me for everything I said first day. Bring her back. Bring her back. I need her. I need my wife. Lord, don't let this happen another. The next day, fumigation. Why? The house stinks, man. Homes don't smell the same way when mom's in town as they do when she's out of town. Why? Because things are out of control. Why we need a mom? You can't afford life without a wife, mom. Now you say, well, Bob, that's a nice thing for you to say. You can't afford life without a wife, mom. No, no, no. I'm saying you can't afford life without wife and mom. You see, this CNN MoneyMatters.com article proves it. Being a mom could be, listen, guys, a six-figure job. That's what they say. Why? Do you know what mom does? Listen to the list. Housekeeper, 22 hours. Cook, 13 hours. Daycare center teacher, 15 hours. Laundry, 8 hours. Machine operator, 6 hours. CEO, 4 hours. Facilities manager, 5 hours. Van driver, 4 hours. Psychologist, 3 hours. Computer operator, 9 hours. Janitor, 6 hours. Do you understand what that cost you? Oh, my, oh, my. They say conservatively $134,000 on the high side, $600,000 a year. You can't afford to be without mom. Woo! Now, if we had a camera shot in the crowd, it'd be all the wives. Yeah, and all the dads would be sinking in their seat.
Yeah, you can go on that retreat. I said, I didn't care. I said, you can go. Watch the kids. It's fine. I'll call them now. Get online. I don't care.
Can you move on, preacher? Move on. Move on. Next point. Next point is, next point is. Next point is, that's simply the business side work. What about the biblical side worth? What things a mom does that you can't put a dollar amount on this? Why? It's something holy. It's something sacred. It's something so wow, that is just so mom. What is that? If you're a note taker, the first of four, write it down this way. Moms, you nourish with indispensable influence. Moms, you nourish with indispensable influence. Oh, Paul makes the point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, drawing your attention to verse 5, we read, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, or a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor do we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Now, underline verse 7. Watch this. "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." Do you see that? Gentle. A gentle mom. We were so gentle. Well, as the Apostle Paul is grabbing for some meaningful metaphor, he doesn't say, when we were with you doing our best to minister, man, we're just like a dad. We were so strong and so determined. No, he says, when we did our best to minister to you, well, our ministry looked like a, wow, man, first thing comes to my mind when they can ministry, it's mom. And I don't just see a mom, you know, in the kitchen. I don't just see a mom caring at the side of the tub. No, I see a mom in my mind. She has got an infant child nestled right up at her breast. Her breast. She's nursing. She's feeding. She's nourishing. You see, there are some things, Dad, you just can't do. Mom's got some equipment you ain't got. Did I say that tactfully? I hope so. And let me tell you something. Scientifically speaking, you do a little Google search on breast milk, and here's what you're going to find. There is this equipment mom enjoys. Those first few days after delivery, oh. I read an article, breast milk is still a scientific wonder. There are ingredients in that first feeding that are bacteria biting, fungi fighting, good, wholesome. And you realize this is the grace of God. This is a miracle from the Almighty. And you sit back for a second and say, hey, there's something very, very special happening here. Yeah, those hours spent eye to eye, body to body. You know what's happening? There's a bond being established. And that bond that's being established is so strong, it's a bond that can also be expressed. Let me show you the bond expressed leaving 1 Thessalonians. It's Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. And I'm going to tell you in advance, I'm going to use a very nasty, negative story to make a very powerful, positive point. Please. Mark chapter 6, verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, she pleased Herod and those who sat with him. And the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask of me, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom. Now, parenthetically, before you read verse 24, what is he saying? He's saying, you have such control over my life. I'm ready to surrender the portion that belongs to my wife. That's some power. That's some influence. But please note verse 24. So she went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Your attention, please. Again, I apologize. Nasty, negative story set in scripture to make. I hope I make such a powerful point. Why? Moms, influence, the power you enjoy. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and more often when I'm teaching a series, looking at the house, looking at the roles and responsibilities, I say, husband, wife, equal in importance, different in performance. And I'll say it again, men and women, equal in importance, different in performance. The performance of mom's power, the influence. Well, I've said it this way before, I'll say it again. I wear the pants in my family, but Diane tells me which ones to wear. And for those of you guys who say, well, I don't let her tell me, you're way out of fashion, dude. Come on, you need some help. Let's get honest. Come on. There's powerful influence in the home. And that influence in a woman is the kind of influence that caused Winston Churchill to say, you want to capture a country? You want to control a nation? Enlist the mothers. Enlist the mothers. Yeah, you see, some of you have set your sights so low. I apologize. You want to control a company? You want to control a corporation? You want to climb the career ladder and someday be in charge? I tell you, you stay at home, you're going to be in charge of something you never dreamed of. Corporation, company, again, don't set your sights so low. Set them high. Control the country, mom. Why? Because there's something happening there between you and your sons and daughters. Oh, in part, I look like mom. I have the same crowded teeth. I have the same hairline. I mean, a lot of Bob looks like Betty. But I will say to you, it extends well beyond the physical. You see, my mom's morality, that influenced my life. My mom's emotional makeup, it influenced my life. So much a mom influenced Bob in such a way that today I'm able to say, you know, I in part am my mom. Now, honestly, although a negative, nasty story, what if and what happens when it's positive? What happens when mom is the one in the home that says, you know, I think this is very, very important. Honey, don't you? What is honey, don't you? Well, there's something else mom has that dad has, but maybe not with as much power or influence. That's the mother look. Dad has a look, but mom has a look. Now, part of that look, part of that view saves lives. What do you mean? Well, dad has a look that's many times release. Mom has a look that's risk. just a few weeks ago. We're poolside. Christian says, hey, Dad, here's what I'm going to do. Get on the edge of the jacuzzi. I'm going to do a double flip, spin around. Don't worry. I won't hit my chin. I'll go in the water. I said, go for it. And then he looks at Mom. All right, here's what I'll do. I'll just do one flip. I'll stay far away from the edge of the pool, and I'll go in. I just told you you could go. I know. I just found out how dangerous it was looking at Mom. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what happens. Risk factor, Mom. Release factor, Dad. Go for it, boy. That's my boy. Now, before you go, one last word. What is that last word? Well, typically, it's a word of caution. Typically, it's a word of sense. Typically, it's a word of, I'll be in the house. I can't watch. All right, Mom's gone. Give it a try. What is that? That's the way moms and dads work. And when you understand how moms and dads work, one, you understand the nourishment with this indispensable influence. Number two, if you're a note taker, you understand the partnership as a major mentor. Major mentor. Now, I know when we talk about mentoring, who's the protege, who's the sometimes and too often, that's the business world. Let's take a look at it in the house. Let's take a look at it in the home. Leaving Mark's gospel, it's Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and draw your attention to the 8th verse. And I know you've read Proverbs chapter 1 before, but I'm going to slow us that you can really say, I never saw that before. And I think that's what's going to happen. Proverbs 1 and 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. What's that? Do you see the difference? If you have a pencil, my son, hear the instruction. Under the word instruction, you could write these two words. Hear the warning, hear the correction. You see that? And do not forsake the law, right near the word law, the precept or the statute. Now what am I suggesting? I don't want to use such a broad brush that I color us all into corners, but I will say in most homes, and I'm going to say this again, in most homes, and you can email and tell me how wrong I am. I'm not going to read it anyway. Here's what happens in most homes. In most homes, I think mom sets the standard for straight. In most homes, I think dad settles the standard for straight. But I think in most homes, mom sets the standard for straight. Why? In my home, I can tell you, quite honestly, as I'm a pastor in heart, I see things in shades of gray. My wife has a tendency more, not the pastor, but the prophet, if you will, see things in black and white. And because she's always seeing things in black and white, no, that's not going to come into this house. That's not going to happen. And what, more often than not, do you hear dad say? Hey, you heard your mother. You heard your mother. You heard your mother. Yeah, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to actually settle what was set in motion by mom. Moms, do you understand when you get up and leave the room while there's something on the television that's just not right? The influence you have in the home? The guilt that fills now the family room? I won't be watching that. I'll be in my room praying. Oh, no, you're free to watch it. I'm not controlling you. But I'll be in my room praying for you.
Hey, that's pretty good. Hey. Let's shut it off.
How'd that happen? Well, let me show you how it happened. Leave Proverbs 1 and 8. Go with me to Proverbs 10 and 1. Proverbs 10 and 1. The Bible declares the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Do you see the difference? You see, dad's there for the celebration. Mom's there for the application. Why? Well, because mom has this partnership. This partnership is a major mentor. Why? Mom's partnership, when did that begin? Well, that began way before conception. Guys, understand. when you were out playing army man and when you were out playing baseball, mom was dressing up babies before she was at age. You know, she's got a dress up doll. She's got a stroller. She's walking down the street on the sidewalk. Oh, look, my dolly. And I'm getting ready. Oh, it's nursing time. She's playing house many years before you're even thinking about house. That partnership, that partner didn't happen when she said, oh, I'm with child. That partnership happened years before when she would sit and think and say, someday I'm going to be a mommy. And so that when that partnership actually was a full partnership and now she's, you know, a few months into it, come here, feel this. And what do? You,
that's weird.
That's your partnership. Hand for a moment and walk away.
That's cool. I felt my baby today. That's good. I saw a sonogram. That's good.
She's the one got it inside of her. It's in her. And every single day, what she eats, what she thinks, it's all happening right there inside of her. For how many months? Her commitment to this child in his womb is longer than many commitments we make in life today. You haven't had cars that long. Some of you have gotten out of the lease. I mean, that's a contract, 9 months for some of us today. Some of us hadn't had jobs that long, 9 months. Here she is carrying it there. And every single day, every single minute, what's happened? Something's happening in the womb. So dad can declare the command, but mom is going to carry the lack of keeping that command. And that's why, boys, girls, listen, when you make those mistakes and dad just, man, can't believe you, but mom has that look. And now it's not one that's stern or strict, but now it's one that's sorrowful and sad. And she looks at you. Why? It's a pain. I've said goodbye and prayed away some boys to the other side of the world to fight our battles. And dad's always that stiff upper lip, you know, pat on the back. You're going to make me proud. You're going to do good. Mom's the one. Why? Mom, it's that partnership. It's that partnership. I remember a few years back and Katie was just a little girl and she had some pain in her mouth and we took her to the dentist. The dentist says, this is no fault of yours as parents, no fault of hers as a child. She has some really tight teeth and she probably gets them from your mom, Bob. And I just want you to know there's some bacteria in there and we got to pull a tooth. Well, you know how old she is? We got to pull a tooth. We're going to have to pull a tooth. And so I'm at the dentist with Diane and Christian had his clean while Katie had her pull. And I'm talking to Christian now after his cleaning, and we've got some video games in the dentist place, and then we're playing. And here, Diane goes into the dentist, and the dentist goes to pull this molar in the back of little 3-year-old Katie's mouth, and as he pulls it, it breaks. And now he's got to dig in there all the deeper. And I hear her screaming from the room. I want to come in and help. The dentist gives me a look like, get behind me. And I say, okay, I'll stay back. We got back in the car, and quite honestly, Kate was fine. The minute was over, she sat there, it feels bad. The next morning, she's chewing her food. It's like, how'd that happen? But on the way home, I look at my wife. Kate's fine. What's wrong?
I never had a good I'll be fine.
She's fine. She's in the back seat of the car, oblivious to the experience. Diane, you didn't have the extraction. She did. Oh, no. My wife also had that extraction. Why? That's the partnership. Again, your boy goes to war. No, your wife goes to war. Why? She's going to feel this thing every single waking moment. That's what a mommy does. That's why it shouldn't surprise you every once in a while. It happened last week. I read an article about some criminal behavior in Broward County. And I can certainly see, based upon the evidence that I read, this guy is on his way, and he probably should be. Midway through the article, there's a mom. And now she voices her opinion. I think he's innocent, and I love my boy, and he'd never do anything like that. And I'm thinking, lady, you got to be kidding me. This is shut and closed. No, you don't understand. I believe in my boy. No matter what, I believe in my boy. What is that? Can I tell you what that is? It's our third point. What do you mean? Write it down this way. It's the labor with unbelievable perseverance. That's what moms do. Moms labor with unbelievable perseverance. Now, when I say labor, The guys aren't thinking this way. The guys, when I say the word labor, the guys are thinking of shovel, they're thinking about the soil, and they're thinking of working. When I say labor and there's a woman in the world that happens to be a mommy, she goes, oh, labor, remind me. Thank you very much. No. Labor. Labor with unbelievable perseverance. Talk about sacrificial love. Do you understand at the turn of the century, you had a 30% chance of saying goodbye to your wife when she delivered your boy or your girl? 30% chance. So, hey, guess what? You're with child and mom's time to celebrate. No, mom in the back of her mind said 30% chance I'll say hello to this life, I'll say goodbye to my life. What is that all about? I think most women would be a little bit more concerned. I know I would be. I mean, if I actually found out I was pregnant, I'd be like, oh no. Maybe not such a good idea. Why? Do you know how big that gets? I got to deliver it? I got to... No. Got to be a different plan. Let's come up with something else. Moms get all excited, and there they are. You know, walking through the hallways. Extra large. What happened? Oh, they see another mom. Ha, ha, ooh. And they start talking. And then they actually start talking about surgeries and plans and how they had the last one. And, oh, I was in labor for 32 hours last time. Oh, the other time. Oh, with Joey, the very first one, 48 hours. Oh, Pitocin, epidural. Oh, you wouldn't believe. How can you have those conversations? Those are war stories. Oliver North needs to do a whole nother program on Fox. War stories. And there's a mom. And there's you. 37 hours. Heavy pain. We guys don't get it. In fact, I remember our first. Somebody in the church got me a doctor's shirt that on the back was embroidered with Team Coy. You know? And I had a stopwatch. I was going to keep track of everything. And I had Bible verses on play cards, you know? And I had a stereo system with music. I had the whole thing ready. So here I am coming to the, you know, delivery room and I'm all ready. Got my shirt on. Got my stopwatch. I got my radio. Got my Bible verses. And now if you know this, when she starts to go into heavy labor, you can watch it on a screen. You can actually see. Oh, it's a little ticker tape. And it comes out. So this is a heavy one. This, and there I am, you know? Hey, this is not bad. This one's fine. Okay. Oh, this is nothing. And there's that. Well, if it's a heavy one, babe, I got a verse for that. Here's the verse, and I'd show her the card. The Bible says, and I'd read the Bible verse. That lasted about 10 minutes. Thank the Lord for Pastor Stefan's wife, Lisa. I was in the hallway after about 15. Stopwatch, Bible verses. Labor. Labor with unbelievable perseverance. Now let me show you that in the Word, it's 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to draw your attention to verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. You probably have a New King James Version Bible. I'm going to read this as a story out of the New Living Translation. And again, you can follow along, but in the New Living Translation, it seems to take on more of a story feeling. 2 Kings 4 and 8. One day Elijah went to town, the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she invited him to eat some food. From then on, whenever he passed that way, he'd stop by the Shunem Diner. I added that. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's make a little room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. He'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by. Now, I want you to note from the get-go, here's a woman who has spiritual sensitivity. Most women do. I've always said men have a spiritual stability. Women have a spiritual sensitivity. And the difference is that man, sometimes hearing the voice of the Lord, it's got to be an earthquake. It's got to be a great move of God. I hear him. Oh, well, everyone heard him. You know, that's no doubt. Women, on the other hand, I'm sensing something. And here the Shunammite woman says, I'm sensing something. I'm sensing this is the man of God. He needs a place to stay. I think he ought to stay at our house. What do you think, hon?
Fine. All right.
So, Verse 11, one day Elijah returned to Shunem, went up to his room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman I want to speak to her. When she arrived, Elijah said to Gehazi, tell her that we appreciate the kind concern she's shown us. Now I ask her, what we can do for her? Does she want me to put in a good word for her to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied. My family takes good care of me. Later, Elijah asked Gehazi, what do you think we can do for her? And he suggested, she doesn't have a son, and her husband's an old man. We'll call her back again, Elijah told him. Well, when the woman returned, Elijah said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year, about this time, you'll be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she protested. Don't lie to me like that, O man of God. Now pause right there before we go to verse 17. What is this? Don't lie to me, O man of God. Why does that seem like an apparent contradiction? Don't lie to me, man of God. Here's what she says. She says, don't mess with me. Bearing children is a very sensitive subject if you can't. I have to, because some of you know our story, pause long enough to say it is a very sensitive subject. I'll give you a reference point. If you're a note taker, just jot down Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. There the Bible says, there are three things that are never satisfied, four that say never enough. What four things say never enough? Number one, the grave. The Proverbs writer says the grave is never satisfied. The grave will always want and take another body. The second thing on the list, listen, what is never satisfied, what never says enough? A barren womb. You see, mom has this equipment, and part of that equipment is a place to produce the next generation. And from an early age, most women, most moms, they think in those terms. It's like there's something about me that's equipped to produce the next generation. This woman has had that hope in her heart for how many years? But the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And she's finally gotten to the place in her latter years, her husband's older, and now when Elijah, the man of God, says, next year you'll have a baby, she says, don't mess with me. That's a serious subject. Don't play a game with me. If I'm going to have a baby, I got to be certain. Why? Because if you've ever had to go on the roller coaster ride of infertility, you know that the ups and downs can be very, very traumatic. And we did for 10 years. In the last couple of years, while we were still barren, Mother's Day was not a Sunday that Diane liked to come to church on. Why? Just too heavy. If there's going to be a Mother's Day message, why? Now, listen, today you have to be sensitive. You're the body of Christ, and there are some women who still want to be moms. And I say to you, be very, very careful. That is a very sensitive subject. But let me also say, in a church like ours, a church today, there's another sensitive side to that same subject, because in and when we fail to have a real relationship with God, we can, because the Supreme Court in 1973 said we could say goodbye to the life that our womb was created for. And in this room today, there's a handful of women who, although we say, hey, mom, don't say that. Why do they feel that way? Because now the longing desire they had hoped with their heart has been dashed by a decision they live to regret. Now, my responsibility, my position as pastor is one to say, know this. If you did make that decision, there is healing found in Jesus Christ. But let me also say that if you're a wannabe mom, there's also healing in the lives of some of the girls who have determined that it's best for them to gift their baby for an adoptive purpose. You might find there is still life in store for you. And I am the man of God that might be in Elijah's place today and say, next year at this time, you'll have a baby in your arms. You say, Bob, I can't believe you'd say that. You have no idea how much that hope lies in my heart. Oh, I know that hope well. Because I remember how many years ago on my living room floor crying out to God saying, God, I just want to be a dad. Why is this so hard? You know my heart. I want to be a daddy. You see, these girls who are part of his caring place, when they determine to keep their child, it's one, as you saw, they are well counseled through. But I will say oftentimes when they decided to gift their child, what is that? That's the ministry of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. The ministry of Mary. Yeah, Mary knew that Jesus wasn't hers. Mary knew that Jesus belonged to someone else. And when a young girl finds herself with an unexpected pregnancy and determines that she will be in the ministry of Mary and that her child is for someone else, there is great healing in the house of God. Why? Because God navigates these paths in such a way. You could be someone here from an adoptive family. And your mother is every bit as much a mother as anybody's mother who biologically brought them into the world. And you say, you know, there are some things you're saying I partially disagree. Why? Well, because my mom, although not my biological mom, and I say to you, I understand completely. My point, it's a sensitive subject. And if we are to be sensible, sensitive Christians, we will have the same sensitivity as we watch the reaction of a woman who says, hey, man of God, don't mess with me. Well, you know the story. Verse 17, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elijah had said. One day when her child was over, he went to visit the father who was working with the harvesters. What do we have? We have dad take the son to work day. And suddenly he, the son, complained. My head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to the servants, what most fathers say, take him to mom. So the servant took him home. Mother helped him up on the lap, but around noontime he died. She carried him up to the bed of the man of God, shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey that I might hurry to the man of God and come back. Now dad's somewhat clueless. So he says, why are you going to the man of God today? Is it a new moon? Is it a festival? Church service? She said, no, it's all right. Now, why does she say it's all right? Scholars and commentators, they scatter on this point. Either A, she's saying everything's okay because she realizes her husband really can't do what needs to be done. B, she's saying it's okay because she's trying to be a good wife and leave him alone because he's got a busy business day ahead. But then, verse 24, she saddled the donkey, said to the servants, hurry, don't slow down on my account unless I tell you to. She approached the man of God at Mount Carmel. Elijah saw her in the distance, said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out and meet her and ask her if everything's okay. How's your husband? How's your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything's fine. Why'd she do this? Oh, continue. When she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground. She caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away. The man of God said, leave her alone. Something's troubling her deeply. And the Lord's not told me what it is. And she said, it was you. And I can hear the disdain and the disgust in her voice. My Lord, who said I would have a son. And didn't I tell you not to raise my hopes? Elijah said to Gehazi, get ready, travel, take my staff, go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly, lay the staff in the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you live yourself, I won't go home unless you go with me. And in other words, don't send your staff. This is a job for you, Elijah, not Pastor Fidel. Did you get the idea here? You say, Bob, I can't believe you threw that in there when you did. I'm simply saying he says my staff should go. And she says, no, I don't want your staff. And there are times that I say, my staff should go. And times where God says, no, this is not a job for your staff. This is a job for you. And discerning the difference, although sometimes it's difficult, there are times where God calls Elijah. There are times that God calls Gehazi. My point, there are times that God's going to call you. You will be the one that helps the hurting woman who finds that she's beside herself because her son is dead. Her son is dead. Spiritually speaking, there are a lot of women in this church today whose sons are dead. Dead spiritually. They're disconnected from God. And some women believe that if they can make their way to Elijah, then he will solve the problem. Some Elijahs say, no, it's for my associates, for my assistants. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But sometimes it may be you that God is choosing to employ to make a difference in the life of a woman whose son is spiritually dead. What happens next? Well, again, so many of you know the story. When Elijah arrived, verse 32, the child was indeed dead, lying there in the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. And then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, eyes on the child's eyes, hands on the child's hands. The child's body began to grow warm again. Elijah got up, walked back and forth in the room a few times. He stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes. And Elijah summoned Gehazi. I called the child's mother. And when she came in, Elijah said, "Take here your son." What's that? Labor with unbelievable perseverance? Moms, are your boys dead? Are your daughters dead? Have you come here today with a prayer? God, please bring spiritual life to my son. Well, I'm glad you have. Why? I don't know anyone else on the planet that's going to pray for your boys and girls like you will. I don't know anyone else on the planet that's going to care for your kids like you will. You can't outsource mom's prayers. There's no prayers like mom's prayers because mom is mom. And nobody else is. And nobody else will the way a mom will. And that's why to this day, I still hear my mom's voice. She'd been gone more than 10 years. But you know, I still hear my mom speaking. Why? She told me some things so many times I can't help but hear my mother. I'll go to throw clothes in the bottom of the closet. Pick those up, Bobby. Okay. Now sometimes it's Diane, but here's my point. I still hear my mom. And there are times you, mom, say, I want to labor and be that one that's really, really partner and really, really nourish. And I'm all those things, preacher. Don't give up. Just because it appears that your kids have. Oh, they may not listen, but they're listening. You're still putting it in. And because you're still putting it in, there'll be a day that it's going to come back. And it may be after you're gone. Why? Again, how many years has my mom been gone with the Lord and I still hear her voice? Trust me, they will still hear your voice. But don't abandon the responsibility because they pay no attention. God will choose to employ your words with the Spirit strength and they will hear your voice, mom and dad. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Fourth and finally, if you're a note taker, surrender with forever faith. Will you go with me quickly? It's Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, surrender with forever faith. What is that all about? Exodus chapter 2, in verse 2. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Most of you know the story. She hid him for 3 months. Why? Because, of course, there was a life-threatening leader. But verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark. It's a basket of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in, laid him in the reeds by the riverbank. What did she do? Listen, she released her child with a trust in a greater good. And again, I'll say, she released her child with a trust in a greater good. Moms, it's a powerful position you're in. You can release your kids with a greater good. It's what Moses' mom did. And again, it's what Jesus' mom did. She released her child for a greater good. In that hospital room, seeing my son, seeing my daughter come into the world, Diane was labor 32 hours with Christian, 18 hours with Kate. And I said, because it was 18 hours with Kate, wow! That was so not like the last one. I kind of laughed with an up heart after Caitlin came into the world. I said to the doctor and my wife sitting there and the nurses standing by, this was not that hard. We could do this again. And the doctor looked at me and said, just what did you do? I cut the cord. I cut it. Want to see that again? Surgical scissors in my hand. I cut the cord. Yeah, me and the doctor working together. Got my doctor's shirt on. I cut the cord. Whose cord did you cut? Oh, that's hers. I cut it. It's hers. Where do you think the cost lies? You cutting it or her having it cut? Mom, Dads have a way of easily cutting a cord. Let them go. It's a good thing. Moms. And what do? We then tie a knot in it. Doctors may knot it, but it's always waiting. What's that? It's when moms become more like pastors and dads become more like prophets. I won't let him back in this house ever again. He's not stepping foot in here. Oh, honey, how can you be that way? What is that? That's... Come on back. And when you really, really get that, you realize there's a lot of what we don't get, guys, that we never, ever, ever will get. Because moms do things that just mommies alone can do. What can mom do? If I had the chance to go back in time, or if I could today have one conversation with my mom, I would wait for the very end of the conversation to hear her say what I heard her say oh so many times when we'd finish our conversation. And many times she'd stop me because I'd be talking too fast. She'd go, Bobby, now listen to me. And I say, yeah, Mom. Bobby, I love you. A lot of people can say they love me. A lot of people can say the same words, Bobby, I love you. But no one can say, Bobby, I love you like my mommy. And that's why, Mom, the value of each one of these acts, as you choose to do it, yes, many times for the greater good, there's nobody like you, Mom. Nobody like you. If you're a mom here today or a want-to-be mom, will you stand? Please. Give me a hand. Thank you. No. Stay standing. We want to pray for you, okay? Listen, if you're related, put your hand on that mom, on that wife. If you're not related, get your hand off that woman now. But if you're related, put your hand on that mom and agree with me, please. Father, God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we're so thankful for this woman that you have placed in our path that has meant so much to the next generation. Lord, we pray that today you strengthen their resolve. Lord, that they see just how important, how necessary, how imperative their role and responsibility. Lord, if too often we have given them the impression that this thing called mom is something we can outsource, something we can negotiate. Father, forgive us. Today we esteem, today we honor, and today we declare our thanks to Mom. God bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 23 and 11, the greatest, if you want to be the greatest, is the servant of all. And I think there's a lot of great moms because they choose to be the servant of all. So here's what I say. I've said this before. I declare it today. No dishes for mom today. Guys, listen to me. No dishes for mom today. Everyone agree? All right. Just put them in the sink. She'll do them on Monday. Now, I say that kiddingly, but it's true she will. It's not what moms are made for, it's what moms are made of. Moms are just made that way. Let's all stand.
Thanks for listening to this presentation of The Active Word, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. For further information about The Active Word with Pastor Bob Coy, write to us at P.O. Box 5767, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33310. Or call us at 1-877-444-WORD. Or you can contact us online at activeword.org.